Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Kia ora te whānau. Welcome to Catching Up with Community, a show on behalf of Community Networks Wellington, where we showcase our member organisations and what they're up to in the community. Ko Judith Parkington toku ingoa, and today I'm talking with Meredith Dyer. She's one of the Wellington coordinators of Parent to Parent. Welcome, Meredith. Kia ora. Thank you for coming.
Kia ora. Thanks for having me.
So, Parent to Parent, for those people who've never heard of it, what briefly is it? When did it start? What does it do?
Sure. Well, we're a nationwide organisation and we primarily support whānau who have family members with a disability, neurodivergence or health impairment of some description. So it was set up around 40 years ago by parents in Auckland, and really kind of designed just to support the parents in their journey with having a disabled child, because it can be extremely hard, as we both know. Yeah. So that's really kind of how it was set up, and had very small beginnings, you know, with a support group and then sort of like a national kind of committee. And now it's grown to, we've got coordinators in most regions throughout New Zealand, and we're supporting parents in a number of different ways. So it's really great to be part of.
And I imagine it's changed a lot, apart from getting bigger in the last 40 years, what you're able to provide and what information you're able to access now, more to the point. Mm-hmm. How does it meet the needs of parents, and how has it evolved from then to, I mean, in the early days was probably physical support, meeting up, talking to each other.
Yeah.
And how has that evolved into other
types
of services?
I think some of those core services have remained the same, because you can't really kind of put a price on that sort of connection, you know, personal, physical, face-to-face connection. So one of the biggest sort of supports that we have for parents is our support groups or our coffee groups. Yes. And they meet up monthly, and in Wellington we have around 6 different groups within the Wellington region. Uh-huh. And it's a place where parents can come together, have a chat, have a coffee, talk about what's on top, what's challenging, the wins they've had as well, you know, they look a lot different from probably what other families would experience in terms of, you know, things to celebrate. So those are primarily kind of pretty much the same, I imagine, as they would have been, you know, in the early days. But, you know, in terms of the way it's evolved, you know, we are doing more online workshops now via Zoom, and that has a wider reach, and it's able to kind of cater to people who aren't able to make it physically due to location or timing, things like that. And we also, as you mentioned before, the type of information that we're able to provide now is obviously amped up a lot with the help of the internet. And so our research team are really incredible. They use evidence-based information, and so they're looking at that from, you know, all over the world. But within, like, you know, a New Zealand context all of the time, you know, especially if it involves things like our health system, our funding system, how to get an assessment, things like that. So, those kind of services, while they're still kind of at the core, remain the same. I guess the ways that we access and source information and also provide it is different now. So we were just talking before about how you had a pamphlet from parent to parent for many, many years ago, and now we've got an amazing website that's also got a lot of resources on it as well. So people can access that from anywhere, and obviously that's very, very different from even 20 years ago.
Absolutely. You know? And for people who either live remotely or actually are probably busier than they used to be 40 years ago
in that's
terms
right.
of how much, I mean, the lives of young people with disabilities have changed as well, haven't they, and become busier. So, the support groups, are they well attended or,
Yeah, they are, I think it does vary depending on, you know, this time of year we tend to get less because of sickness and things like that. So it's either, you know, the kids are sick or the parents themselves are sick, or just maybe a little bit overwhelmed by, you know, by life in general. But it really depends on the area. But I would say roughly around sort of 8 to 12 parents, you know, each time. Some of the other groups up in the other regions like Auckland and things have bigger groups. But actually we were just talking about it in a team meeting this morning, you know, sometimes you might only get one or two people turn up for whatever reason. But actually sometimes those groups can be the most kind of beneficial for those parents because they may really, really need that at that point in time, and what we're able to do with them and sit down and just talk personally about things that they may not feel comfortable sharing in a big group. So we just kind of roll with it.
That's great. Yeah. And the research you're talking about, where does that lead? How it, what, you know, not what are they doing it for, but where does that go, that information? Is it so that somebody can access it, or is it for general release?
That's right. Yeah. So there's a couple of different ways. So as I mentioned before, the website, we've got a lot of resources on there. So we've got articles that have already been written by our research team. Right. And quite often what they'll do is they will pull together, you know, a lot of the requests that we get in directly from parents in terms of the types of topics they want to talk about. And they might look at that and say, well, we've had this many requests for funding. And then they might do an article about it so that somebody can just go to the website and access that and download the article straight away without having to kind of go through the steps. But the support and information team, the whole idea around that is it's tailored information. So the great part about it is when you access our services, and you can do that with or without a diagnosis, either way, you don't have to have one, and it's free either way, you go onto the website and put in an inquiry, that will come through to a coordinator in your region. And so we're able to give you a phone call and have a chat through that if there's anything that we're not sure about in terms of the type of information you're looking for. And so then we'll pass that on to the research team, and they put that together in an electronic format and email that through. So the idea is that the information that's getting straight into the hands of the person that needs it in a way that's accessible for them and also that meets their needs in a specific way. Having said that, you know, we do a lot of kind of general information as well. Like, you know, for example, you might have a 3 or 4 year old who you think potentially might be autistic, and we can provide general information about autism, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. So the support groups, information hub, it is an exceptionally good website with lots of information. I'm impressed with the resource hub particularly. So let's move on to some of the other services that you provide.
Yeah. So the other one is our main one is our sibling support program. And that is just, it's just such an awesome service to have. And that is also nationwide. Right. We've got quite a few sibling support camps that are being run this year. I think there's probably going to be about another 6 around the country in the next half of the year. And there's two sort of main kind of activities that they do. The sibling support camp is normally a one or two night camp, and it's a chance for siblings who have, or children who have disabled or neurodivergent siblings to come along. It runs from the ages of 8 to 18, and they get a chance to talk to other siblings who are in similar situation. So similar to our parent support groups, really, and it's the same sort of thing for siblings. So we have trained facilitators who are our sib leaders, we call them, and they themselves have got a brother or sister who is disabled and neurodivergent.
So they know exactly.
So they know what it's like. They've got that lived experience, and they're also trained in it as well. So they have workshops with the kids and are able to sort of facilitate, you know, discussions and around what it's like, you know, things that can help, ways to cope, you know, things like that. And then they will do some sort of fun activity together as well. So with the camps, that's kind of just like an extended version of our one-day sibling support workshops.
Yeah.
So for example, last year, the one we had in Wellington is they went ice skating and trampolining afterwards after their sort of workshop time in the morning.
Yeah. Okay, great. And how many people can attend those? Generally, it depends where it is, I suppose.
Yeah, it depends where it is and what kind of activity it is. But normally it's around about 25-ish to 30 kids, depending.
And the overnighter camps, that's all managed in the region?
It is, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So the regional coordinator will organise all of that, you know, venues and things like that. Yeah, last year's one was our Rancho, and that is also free, by the way. There's no cost to the family at all because that's funded.
Okay.
And the IHC Foundation is one of our main funders for those, which is really, really amazing.
That's great. So when you talk about these people being trained, you also have people at the end of the phone that people can talk to for.
Yes.
I don't know, advice, sharing, support.
Yeah.
So what sort of, well, you can tell me a bit about that. And then what is the training for and how is that done
for
both that adult
for both of them,
the
So that's the support parent network,
yes,
I think you're talking
about.
So, yeah, that is a trained volunteer support parent who has been there before as well. So they've got their own lived experience. And what we try to do is match the family member who's looking for support with somebody in a similar situation to them. Obviously, you can't always get it exact, but, you know, for example, similar age children or, you know, life stage or diagnosis or things like that. So we, the parent supports that, it's peer support training. So, so they will have like a actual training workshop that they go to physically to do that. And it's really designed to be a one-off phone call between the volunteer and the parent wanting support. If they then want to kind of organise between themselves to, you know, catch up again, then that's up to them.
Right,
but we supply that initial connection. So, yeah, really kind of an opportunity to just talk to somebody who gets it, I think, is really kind of what that's about. And then sibling support leaders, similar type of thing. They had a training up in Auckland earlier this year. So they all just get together and they have different facilitators and different people coming in to sort of teach them, you know, how to talk to the kids, the types of things to say, you know, how to run groups, all of that sort of thing that's involved in any kind of leadership or facilitation.
And are they volunteers, the sibling?
Most of them are, there's a couple of ones who are paid, but most of them are volunteers. They do it for the love of it, which is incredible, you know, in and of itself. But then when you see them in action with the kids, they're just the best humans. It's really amazing to see, especially because a lot of the kids that are turning up to a camp, you know, can you imagine, like, you're 10 years old, you turn up, you don't know anyone, you live a fairly potentially isolated life anyway because of the dynamics of your family, and then you're like nervous about coming, a bit anxious, and then honestly within a couple of hours the kids are like, you know, getting on, and the leaders just do such a beautiful job at, you know, making that happen. So it's really cool to see.
And such a relief for the kids not to have to, you know when to say, oh, I've got a sibling with a disability.
And it's the same as within the support groups. It's like you're all speaking the same language and no one really has to explain themselves or, you know, decode anything because pretty much everybody gets it. Even if they've got a different diagnosis for their child, it's a similar type
of
life.
And it's a fun time away from home as well, which is
a benefit. And the parents get a bit of a break too.
That's true, yeah. One less. Okay, so that's sibling services. Now, what else goes on? I see events and workshops.
That's right.
I also note that you do a radio, this Wellington, on this radio station, Access Radio, that you personally also do a radio podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell me something about events and workshops and the radio.
Mm. Yeah, sure. So the workshops, we've got kind of set ones that we do for parent to parent, and they run sort of throughout the year in the regions. And they are obviously funding dependent. So they are put on, you know, organised through the coordinator in that region. And they are, there's a number of different types of ones that we do. There's one around building a good life. There's another one about sort of carer, parent well-being, things like that. So they normally run for about a day, sort of around about sort of 4 to 5 hours. We also offer the services of Altogether Autism.
Yes.
So, yes. So those workshops we help to co-facilitate as well. Well, we will help to organise them, and then they normally have their facilitators that come in and actually do the learning. And they've got kind of like a set number of workshops that they do, which are really incredible. And obviously, that's more centred around autism specifically.
So they're a separate organisation that sort of share a metaphorical office with you. Kind
of in a way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And obviously those are all advertised on the website.
They are, yes.
And what about the radio broadcast?
So the radio show, that is something that I personally came up with that I have been wanting to do for a long time.
Right.
And I wanted it to be a bit of an extension of the support groups that we provide for parents, because in my role, I've been in this role for just over a year now, and I was meeting a lot of people that weren't, or talking to them on the phone, that weren't able to come along to the support groups for whatever reason. Mm. And so I thought it would be a really great thing to be able to have something like that on available on air, or, you know, via podcast, where parents could just listen to it whenever they had the time or headspace energy, you know.
Yeah.
And so the first series that I've done is, as you will know yourself, because you feature on that, just interviewing parents and caregivers about their experiences and stories of having a disabled or neurodivergent child. So it's really just a way for people to connect with real lived experience and have that feeling of just not being alone, you know. And also just get ideas. I've had people email me saying, you know, I've got some great ideas of what such and such said on their episode, and or I didn't know about this service, and now I do. And, you know, sometimes it's also about decoding those acronyms, as we all know so well.
Yeah,
so that is every fortnight on a Saturday at 1 p.m. and also available on Spotify and Apple as a podcast as well.
Yeah. No, I think it's a very useful tool, because you also get to hear people being honest about what's going on and what it's like for them, without having, you know, often when you're outside of your cohort, if you like, you have to put a brave face on a lot of stuff just because you don't want to be
constantly
moaning or weeping or something. It's a very good, frank.
I mean, it's a balance really for, in those support group sort of spaces, because you do want to provide a safe space for parents to be able to, is it download or, their what's going on for them. But at the same time, we really want to be able to still have that positive kind of vibe going, that people leave feeling better than they did when they walked in, not worse.
Do you have a sense of the sort of percentage of people wanting information more than they want support, if you know what I mean? You know, because we do live in an information overload
that's
world,
right.
And people tend to go straight to the, you know, the Google or the website to find out what they want.
Well, I think that's a really important point, because I know as a parent of disabled children myself, just the time constraints there are, and the mind space and the energy to be able to find that information.
Yeah.
So the feedback that we get, that I personally heard from parents, is there's just so much out there, I don't know what's true, or I don't know what's actually helpful. The way I see it is they coming into kind of like I guess, a one-stop shop in terms of like the information that they're looking for. And because it's tailored, they can actually just get that directly to them, and it's evidence-based, so they know and that they can trust it, and that, you know, it's been sort of vetted, as it were. And then they can get that and go, okay, this is all I have to look at right now. Having said that, a lot of the time I find when I'm talking to people on the phone, they just want someone to listen, or they just want to be able to connect with somebody who gets it, or feel like they've been heard or validated. But I think more importantly, just have that space to sort of know that they're not on their own and going crazy. You know, like I remember like feeling like that, you know, and having that confidence of somebody else saying to you, actually, that's a really great idea, that, you know, it sounds like you're doing everything you can, or I'm really glad that you've gone to XYZ for help, you know. And it just really kind of validates their experience and gives them that idea that they're actually doing a good job and doing the right thing, because it's so hard to know, and no one gives you a manual. So
no, and also it's not, there's many facets, isn't there? There's finding out about the particular diagnosis might have medical implications, or all sorts of implications. And then you've also got to navigate systems as well. I mean, I can imagine that being a very popular information pack, is how to navigate education or funding.
Funding is probably one of the biggest ones.
Because even parents who've been often are bewildered, still don't know who's, you know, who's talking to who and what, where to go.
Yeah. And most of the time they aren't talking to each other either. No,
that's right. And it keeps changing as well.
And so that's the great thing, is we're able to keep on top of those changes and, you know, and give out, you know, accurate, up-to-date information as well.
And where are these people that are beavering away with the, are they all over the place?
I know,
or
I can imagine like this little kind of hive of like
underground bunker.
Oh, that's good. We all work remotely, so we don't actually have an office, so they will be beavering away in their own homes and spaces.
So it's not like there's a central location somewhere where
We all have we all work from, even the regional coordinators work remotely as well, and so we basically just use Teams.
That's great. What else would you like to tell me? I think we've briefly run through everything that's on the website, but is there more to say?
Yeah, I think in terms of, you know, parent to parent as an organisation and what we can provide, I think it's a really great starting point for parents, especially if they are new to the space, or they've just getting a diagnosis, or they're not sure if that's what they need, because we kind of like, I like to see it as we're a signposting, you know, kind of place to be able to provide information, but also local information as well. So if you're not sure of, you know, where to go for a diagnosis locally, or, you know, what medical centre, you know, could be a good place to go for a neurodivergent child, or things like that, you know, local activities for disabled children, you know, so that we're gathering together local information, and a lot of it actually comes from the parents at the support groups. You know, I'm constantly furiously scribbling down, oh, what did you say? Where was that? You know, because that's really great information. So I think I would say, like, if somebody is at the very start of their journey and they're not really sure who to reach out to, and they're starting to Google and they can see all these places, I think parent-to-parent is a really great place to start, because we are not a crisis service, but a lot of the time people who contact us are feeling like they're in crisis mode. So we might be able to point them in the direction of where to go next. And I always like to think of it as, what's the next right thing for you? Because, like we've said, it's overwhelming. And if you're in the thick of it and you've got, you know, kids with behavioural challenges and things like that, it's often really, really hard to know just even what to do next. Mm. So I try not to overload people with too much information. Just, okay, what's the most important thing for you right now? And just having that connection with someone to be able to talk to on the phone about where you're at and what is actually going to be the best thing to be able to support you.
And, yeah. And who are the sort of people or organisations that put parents onto you? Like, is there a standard route for Plunkett nurses or doctors that they know? Okay, parent to parent, here's the pamphlet, so to speak.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, a lot of the time that people are finding out about us through child development, right. You know, after they're getting their diagnosis. Mm. But I'm actually getting more and more calls from other practitioners that have heard about our service and know that that could be potentially something that the parent could, you know, could be helpful for the parent. So, for example, you know, might get sort of like a early intervention teacher or a before school check nurse, or I had a health improvement practitioner the other day. So, you know, there's different people that are finding out about the service and are referring people on. So, yeah, it is a bit of a mixture, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we have probably covered just about everything, unless there's something else you want to tell us? Or?
If you're in the Wellington area and you're keen to come along to one of the support groups, the details are on our website. Mm. We've got Lower Hutt, Miramar, we've got Kapiti, Wairarapa, and we're looking at starting a new one in Porirua soon. Okay. So,
Wellington, your region covers up to the Wairarapa?
Yeah.
So a coffee morning would be a great place to start. The website, as I said, is extensive, full of information. I can thoroughly recommend people jumping on there to have a look. Mm. Yeah.
Great.
Anyway, kia ora, Meredith. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
And good luck with parent to parent.
Thank you.
Kia ora.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.